Janie's got ADHD hyperactive type. I've got an 11-year-old daughter, just turned 11. She's got ADHD inattentive. I've got a husband, 50-something, and he's ADHD inattentive too. And so that's why I'm here. And celebrate that my son was asked to present sort of a casual presentation at a board meeting at school, some of the things that he and his junior high classmates had been working on, and he did it, and he said it was awesome. So,
oh my gosh, awesome. That's great.
I know.
That can be really stressful.
Shocking.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that funny? The things that we find totally stressful, sometimes our kids find very easy.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, whatever, no big deal. Like, oh, okay, I'd be totally freaking
all
out.
Right.
So.
Anyway. Fabulous. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, let's see. Tammy.
Hi, I'm Tammy. I'm from Iowa, and I have an 8-year-old with ADHD, ODD. I don't know. I think we're getting every diagnosis under the sun, learning disability, possible autism spectrum. His 5-year-old brother, possible ADHD. I see a lot of characteristics in him. A celebration. Those are hard, but I got a text message from his teacher mid morning, telling me that my son was actually having a good day, not arguing up until that point, and when he had a really bad day yesterday. So I guess that's good news. One day they're good, one day they're bad. I don't know.
I'll take it. I think that's great. Awesome. Yeah. Welcome. Thank you for sharing that. Leslie?
Yes, this is Leslie. I am in Boston. I have a 6-year-old with ADHD and generalized anxiety, and he's just diagnosed with a learning disability. And I also have a 4-year-old girl who's a handful, but hasn't been diagnosed with anything that we know of. So a big win. So last week my kids were on spring break, and we got through the week, and it was fun, and they were so good. You know, and the fact that they had so much fun and told me that they had so much fun was amazing. And it was just a really good week. I actually was dreading the week at home with the kids because we didn't have any specific plans, and here I am. I live to tell about it, and it was fun.
Yay! That's a huge celebration, because sometimes not having a plan is like the worst thing ever. And sometimes it goes really well. I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's phenomenal. Very awesome. And then some lucky person is here from Kansas City. Is that Suzanne?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hello, I'm Suzanne. I'm from Shawnee, Kansas. And let me say, I have a daughter. Both my kids are adopted. One, my daughter, 12. She has ADHD. I'd say inattentive. She's not hyper. And then my son Andrew's 10, and he has ADHD, and he's definitely hyper. I would say our celebration last week, we had a spring break, and we took the kids on vacation to see family. And my husband and I got 2 nights away for the first time in 5 years. So that was, the kids survived and we survived. So yeah, that was kind of a milestone for us. And, and it felt good. And I think they were happy to, you know, we were happy to be together after that. So that was good for us. It kind of
a break is a good thing.
Yeah, it was much needed. So.
Awesome. Well, good for you guys. It's hard for us to remember to take care of ourselves and our marriages or our partnerships. And, you know, sometimes we feel guilty about taking that time. And it's so important because it makes us much better parents, partners, friends, you know, daughters, sons, whatever. And yet it's one of the hardest things for us to remember to do. Awesome. Well, welcome, everybody. Did I miss anyone? If so, speak now. All right, we are going to forge ahead. So the topic for this week is failing forward, which is kind of an interesting one because we talk about failure It's not always something that people kind of wrap their arms around and want to celebrate. But for our kids and for our way of life with our complex kids, you know, it can sometimes be an everyday thing or maybe even an hourly thing, depending on what's going on in our kids' lives. And so it's important both as parents and as kind of guides for our children and the people around us to model failure well and to teach our kids that failure can actually be a success. So I'd like to go back around now and go ahead and take aim. And taking aim is always so interesting because you can take aim on the topic, you can take aim on some big macro issue maybe that's been you've been wanting to focus on all year. You can take aim on something that just bubbled up this morning. But you don't have to take aim on anything specific, but we do ask that you specifically take aim, if that makes sense. And if that's confusing, I can walk you through it. We want to take aim on the change that you want to see for whatever it is that's coming up to you. So I'm going to let you guys just kind of jump in. If two people start at once, then whoever I hear first can go. And we'll try to get everybody to check in real quick with, or to take aim real quick and share what they're focusing on. And then we'll move into the training or the teaching a little bit. And then we'll circle back around and see if we can handle some laser coaching if we have time. So let's see. Who wants to go first with taking aim?
I'll go first. This is Leslie.
Awesome.
So something that, you know, I do have a specific example, but and I kind of just need help on strategy. So my son tends to fixate on certain things, and I'll give an example to so he has a gluten sensitivity, and uh-huh. we sometimes allow gluten. We just don't allow the buildup of the gluten, so he can have a treat here and there. We don't like if he's at a birthday party. It's okay for him to have something. So during the weekend, I brought home one of his favorite donuts that he hasn't had in, my gosh, it must be like 9 months. So brought it home as a mm-hmm. treat. And he was fixated on it the last three mornings as to why I didn't bring him one. And I had to, you know, I explained it to him, but he just gets fixated on the fact of why didn't you do it? He calls me horrible names. And mm-hmm. I have a feeling that he's using that as an outlet for other anxiety. The only thing I can think about is that perhaps he was nervous about starting back up at school again, and that mm-hmm. whatever stress that causes him. But mm-hmm. it's really hard for me to get it out of him. So you know, there was two mornings really rough, and like he would not let it go until he kind of got distracted by other things. Mm-hmm. But like I couldn't even interact with him. Like my husband had to come in and kind of take over because it was just the sight of me was like all he could think about was I didn't get a donut. So just trying to work through strategies when he gets fixated on things like that. How I get him to kind of, I'd love for him to tell me what is really wrong. I don't know.
Interesting. And it's happened before. He's been fixated on something.
Yeah,
not necessarily
different things. Yeah, like mm-hmm. he'll get fixated on something he really wants, and it doesn't matter what the explanation is. Mm-hmm. I did last night before he went to bed set the expectation that there was not going to be a donut for him in the morning,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't have that issue this morning, so I don't know if that worked or if he just, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, okay. And it's not always connected to you, right? It can be connected to just whatever.
Yeah, but I.
In terms of him taking it out on you.
He always
yeah.
picks it.
Does he always? He always does.
I'm the family punching bag.
No, you are the most trusted member of the family and probably the family member that everyone feels the most comfortable with. What's sort of one of those weird inverse things where we are yes. strangely hardest and meanest to the people that we love the most because we trust them and we expect them to be around. Doesn't make it okay, but
yes.
Believe it or
yes,
not, that's
no,
the thought process
no.
there. Yeah. So interesting. All right, let's come back to that. Perfect. Thank you. Who wants to go next? I'd love to hear from everybody.
I'll jump in. This is Suzanne.
Okay.
I think something this week that really was kind of actually freaky was the email, the article that you'd written about the hair pulling or the bald spot, because my daughter this year has just had an awful time with it. And I'm almost looking like the crazy parent because no one really believes me that she's actually pulling her hair, but I took her in to get it cut, and it was so damaged underneath that it was almost like someone had shaved her head. Like, the lady couldn't even believe it, but she'd been hiding it so much, but I just noticed it. So anyway, we cut it really short, and I've been trying to manage it a little bit, but I've noticed over the last couple weeks it's grown out a little bit, and I just know she's going to start to pull it again. So my thing was, I'm just trying to figure out, like, is this something that can be, I can kind of do on my own, or do I need to seek, you know, kind of additional help for her just to make sure that I kind of, you know, I want her to get healthy hair again. Obviously, she's got some anxiety going on that I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It kind of threw me for a loop this year, and when I saw how bad it was, and I just felt bad that I didn't, you know, haven't taken it more seriously. So that's kind of what I just felt like I needed to focus on. That just really struck me, like, oh my gosh, we've got a real problem here. So
I get it. I get it. Is it, has it causing problems for her at school? Are other kids noticing it?
You know, I don't think so, but I'm afraid it could. You know, as it grows back and stuff, it'll grow like straight up. I mean, it's, to me, it's noticeable. And I again, we're getting towards summer, so I think we can kind of get through summer, so it's not a problem. I just don't want it to be a problem in the future where she could get picked on if, if it got bad again. So.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. And I'll send you, I mean, obviously, I can send you all the local resources that we have, but I think that's good to take aim on because it's something that, you know, requires a little more information, right? We need to figure out kind of the reasons behind it and then figure out what some next steps are or what's going to work for her. Cool.
Right.
Thanks. Perfect. Who's next?
This is Julie. And my kids both had birthdays this month, and so we had a birthday party on Friday for my son. And it went awesome until the last minute, of course, you know. So it was going great. The boys were playing basketball. They had a great time. And then at the last little bit, they were playing hide-and-seek at our house. So they're out in the neighborhood playing hide-and-seek, and they had one round, which went okay. And then I said, hey, we've got to get all these boys home. You guys can only play one more round within one block. So my son and his friend, they go and hide. They went much, 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 much further than one block. Freaked me out, of course. Where are they? It's getting dark. I've got to get these boys home. So I don't know that I did the right damage control. The first thing I did, of course, when they were found by my husband was scream at them. So that wasn't really a good end to his birthday party. But it's just sort of an ongoing thing of the social poor choices, boundaries. So it all just kind of came to a head, I guess, last Friday. I'm not really sure how to put a game on
risk.
It. I think it's more like him making good choices and thinking about other people than just him having fun with his buddy.
Okay.
And maybe that's just too big.
No, not necessarily. I mean, we can definitely, you know, boil that down a little bit. Is it just specifically, I mean, making good choices can be probably too big, but is it specifically related to, like, risk-taking or impulse control, do you think? Or is it more related to your reaction to that?
I think it's impulse control.
Okay.
And maybe there's a communication thing going on where maybe I'm not clear enough with my expectation or my what the rules or boundaries are.
And
so maybe that's why he thought he could go further than I'm not sure.
Okay, so maybe some more information is needed. Might be an area to get curious about. Okay, cool. Awesome.
Okay.
Who's left? Let's see. We heard from Julie. We need Julia.
Yes. Hi, Julia.
Hi.
So this is kind of mundane, and it's not usually a problem, but three mornings a week I've been taking my 9-year-old in for this for school tutoring, and it's only half an hour, and by one of the teachers who's very nice, and tomorrow's the last day. They did it right before statewide, you know, for like a month or 6 weeks before statewide testing, hoping to increase points, I'm sure. And and he's just had it with it. And he I couldn't even get him to go this morning. And usually taking him to mornings are not he's a morning person, and that, you know, he's, although he wants to stay home and play, which I understand.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So I gave up this morning and didn't take him, but I feel like I should take him, and I, you know, it's, tomorrow's the last day, and so I'm already like dreading it. He also gets tutoring twice a week after school for an hour each time, and speech therapy one afternoon. So he does a lot, and that's an additional full day of school. So part of me understands.
And you feel guilty about that. Yeah.
But I can't, but, you know, but I can't in the moment, especially in the morning, I'm like, it's hard. It's harder for me to be the empathic, especially when I'm the human punching bag to get yelled at and name calling.
I hear you.
7:15
in the morning. Tomorrow's last day. Yeah.
It is.
So is the goal to get him to go tomorrow and be happy about it, or is the goal just to get him to go?
Just to go.
Just to go. Okay.
And I was wondering about, I was wondering, I mean, this, I don't know if this is applying the failing forward thing correctly, kind of asking him, how can tonight, like, how can we make this work better in the morning? I don't know if that's.
Oh, yeah, I think that's always an option. Yeah. Definitely. Get buy-in from your child. I mean, have a conversation with them. Ask them what's going on for them in the morning, you know. More than likely, you already have the answer. He's tired. He doesn't want to go to school a half hour early. Or he doesn't want tutoring or whatever.
But he doesn't. Yeah, he wants to play. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely have a conversation. I mean, and tomorrow's the last day, right? So, for one more time. See what he's willing to do, or see if he has some suggestions to make. It. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Thank you. Did I miss? I feel like I missed somebody.
Tammy.
There you are. Hi.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, it's me. Okay. Sorry. My phone's, my speaker on my phone is not working very well. So I'm having a little trouble hearing.
I'm sorry.
But, I'm really struggling, so I don't really, I'm sitting here racking my brain. And, can't really come up with anything specific. I mean, there's just so much. And my biggest focus lately has been, we recently had I think I talked about this 2 weeks ago, but a social responsiveness questionnaire. And there was some indication of autism spectrum. And we've changed medications and added some medications. And he's just, my child is just, I mean, I think it's kind of, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but maybe the rebound effect, or when meds are wearing off, he is an absolute horrible
monster.
Yes. And trying to figure out how to deal with that. Also, where to get the comprehensive, you know, person besides myself who doesn't know anything, you know, to get answers. We have doctors here and there and everywhere, but none of them talk to one another, and I'm frustrated. And I feel like our meds aren't right yet, and I'm, you know, it's affecting school, it's affecting home, and so, but I know that's way too broad, but.
No, that's a lot. You got a lot going on, and it's very challenging when you don't have a clear path, you know, you don't have a clear diagnosis even. But you know what's going on now isn't working. And so you're trying to figure out what some solid next steps are. So, I mean, in that case, I'd say, you know, take aim on one of two things, on taking care of yourself during this process and allowing yourself, you know, time to either grieve or do the research that you need to do, whatever you need in order to be okay with what's going on. Or give yourself permission to do more research, to switch doctors, to, you know, do what you need to do for your child. Do either of those resonate for you, or is there something
else?
And
I appreciate that. I mean, it's kind of validating. I live in Iowa, so, and I work in Des Moines, so, I mean, I'm close to resources. But I think Iowa City has probably a better their children's hospital and center for I don't know, it's Center for Something, Disabilities and Disorders, something, developmental disorders. But mm-hmm. October is the soonest I can get, you know, get him in. And so I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, that's a long time to wait to get, and you know, answers. So yeah. I've cried all day long. I'm in, you know, my own therapy.
Yeah, good.
I've looked up whack jobs on the internet on how to, you know, get rid of autism. I mean, you know, stupid, ridiculous things that I know are ridiculous, but at the same time feel hopeful. Is that weird? I mean, I just know it's
not at all.
I just feel a little crazy.
Definitely not weird.
I think that's normal. Yep, totally normal. But if I can, what's your fear? Sometimes, you know, naming what your fear, and you don't have to do it now, but, you know, getting really honest with yourself about what your fear is surrounding the autism mm-hmm. diagnosis or surrounding whatever's going on, and really addressing that. You know, for a lot of us, you know, my fear is always that my son is going to fail at everything and come back and live in my basement for the rest of his life. And that does, you know, for a long time drove a lot of our decisions and choices. And I think that's true for a lot of us, you know, just that, either that fear that we're going to fail as parents or our kids are going to fail, or that everyone's going to think we're bad parents or that they're going to think our kids are failures. Ends up being really what's behind a lot of our grief and anger sometimes, not always, but it can be one of the reasons. It's also one of the easiest ones, believe it or not, to handle once you get really honest with yourself about what it is. And I'm not saying that that's what it is for you. Just sit with what your real fear is behind that. And once you're able to label and identify that, then you can move forward. Because it's always good to get more information. It's just information. It's not necessarily good or bad. It just is.
Right.
Someone else has joined us from Atlanta, and I don't have a name.
It's Pat Mahary.
Oh, hey, Pat. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. We're taking aim. Would you like to take aim real quick?
I think I'm still aiming on what I was doing last week, which was I'm trying to give more positive feedback, positive comments to my son. So.
Good.
He hears more positive than negative.
Awesome. How's it been going? Just curious.
Actually, very well. I don't know exactly, but my son, something finally clicked. He made a 100 on his last math test.
Woohoo!
I think all the tutor and the math teacher, I think, almost fell down. So. I mean, but so we proved he can do it. I think something wasn't clicking in his brain, and so he's going to get some rewards because he's on a reward plan. And so the good thing is for me, what I feel good about is, you know, not that he's an A student all the time, but he proved he can go from being in the bottom and get himself pulled mm-hmm. up, which is more important to me. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's awesome. Very cool. Okay. So, anybody else? Did I miss anyone? I apologize. I like to walk around while we do these sessions, and then I don't have a mental picture of who all's on the call. I think I do, but I always end up forgetting somebody. So, if I forgot you, my apologies. It wasn't intentional by any means. But we need to go ahead and dive into the material so we can. Cover some of the stuff. So yes, a failing forward. John Maxwell wrote a great book on failing forward with a business bent. It's very interesting. There's some great quotes in it if you ever get a chance to read it. Not necessary. And if you are following along in the workbook, we are on page, I think it's page 50. Let me double check here though. But you don't need to have your workbook handy. Page 50. How about that? I remember the page. You don't necessarily need to have it in front of you. It's pretty straightforward. You know, I mean, failure, typically from a social standpoint, it's not considered a good thing, right? I mean, it's we don't want to be failures. We don't want our kids to be failures. But the fact of the matter is that in order to grow and succeed, we all fail at something, probably every day. And so modeling failing well or recovering from a failure well is going to be really critical to helping our kids succeed and helping us succeed as parents. And, you know, we're all going to make mistakes, but the important thing is that we recover from our mistakes and how we recover from our mistakes. For a long time at our family dinners, we used to ask our kids three questions, you know, what the highlight of their day was, what they did to help someone else today, and what they failed at today. And the reason we added the what did you fail at today was, one, to create, you know, a space for them to have a conversation about failure and what their next steps were, and two, to kind of make it a normal thing, you know, just to say people fail every day. Just like you succeed every day, you also fail every day, you grow every day. And as a family, we got to have that conversation. We kind of got out of the habit of that, and I miss that. And anytime we do this section, I stick it back in there. But if you don't need to share like big failures, but if I look back on my life and the times when I have failed so tremendously well and, you know, really thought that there's no way I could recover from this, that's always been the moment where the best changes have been born, you know, where whatever came out of that, even if it took a year to recognize what happened next and see it as the positive and the win that it came out to be. It was all born of what we perceived to be failure. And so, you know, at the end of the day, teaching our kids to handle every failure with grace is essential. But it's also really hard if you don't have the language or a comfort level with failure to model that and share it with our kids. You know, we're all going to make mistakes. And Elaine always says, let every mistake be a new one. So, you know, some of us are going to repeat mistakes over and over again. You know, is it Edison that failed or figured out 300 and some odd ways not to make a light bulb until he figured out the one right way how to make a light bulb? You know, Albert Einstein failed math and was one of the greatest mathematic geniuses of our time. Michael Jordan has a whole bunch of different quotes about basketball and missing free throws and not making the team in grade school or whatever. And look what a success he went on to become. And so what's coming up for you guys as we're talking about failure? Is that something you're comfortable sharing with your kids or having a conversation about? I like to be interactive. What are you guys thinking about as we're talking about failure?
This is Julie, and I'm just thinking about how I don't like to fail. I like to win. I like to be successful. I like to watch other people make mistakes so that I don't make the same mistake that they did. And it's funny, when we started this call talking about failing forward, I was thinking about literally falling forward because my daughter just for her birthday got a hoverboard. And she's like, Mom, I want you to try the hoverboard. Well, I'm probably going to fall, you know, so let me do it on the weekend when I just have time to recover from my falls and all that. And, you know, okay, I can fall and it's no big deal. It's not the end of the world. I'm not going to break a hip probably. But it's hard for me. It's hard to teach something when you have your own challenges around it.
Exactly. What's coming up for everybody else?
Well, this is Pat. I really had a big challenge. My son was failing math. I'd never seen that letter before in my life. And I really, so I had to step back, and realize the grade is not going to keep him out of college. It's just a grade. And because when you get all anxious about it, he feeds off me. And now I've learned the process we've gone over the last month that he does know how to get out of the ditch. He can, so that makes me feel good that he now has learned that process. But yeah, I've learned that I can't obsess over it, and we just got to move on and look at, you know, if he's not good in math and he's great in something else, then I'm going to have to pay attention to that. Because, you know, they listen to everything you say and they internalize it. So I just have to say, okay, no big deal. And move
on. Good. And that's so hard sometimes, right? I mean, you're right. I think our first reaction is to be like, what? You got nothing. La, la, la. How could you get nothing? La, 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 la. But when we stop and pause and think about it and think about what we want our kids to hear and, you know, 10 years from now, what we want them to remember, It makes it a little bit easier to find a way out of that failure. I love that. Thank you. Other thoughts?
Failure for me is something that scares me. I'm a perfectionist and always have mm-hmm. been. School is something that came very easy to me, but one of the ways as I got older would avoid failure is from just knowing I wouldn't take risks. And I'm still like that. I have a hard time taking risks. If I think that there's a chance of failure, I have a hard time taking that step. And it's mm-hmm. not something that I want. And I'm a mix because I know that my son's going to have a harder time on a lot of the things that I found very easy as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I see now as he's learning how to read and the difficulties that he's having. But to the same respect, I want to teach him not only that it's good to feel forward, but that you kind of miss on opportunities if you don't take that risk. So I know I'm going to have to deal with a lot of my own insecurities in order to teach that to him. But, you know, he's probably not going to have the traditional path that I had, and that's okay. And I think I have, just like I think with everything that we've talked about here, we kind of have to start with ourselves. And so there's going to be a lot of kind of self-discovery that I'm going to have to do.
That's always the good news and the bad news, right? The good news is that we can change ourselves, and the bad news is that we need to change ourselves. Awesome. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And so the next question becomes, you know, what do we need to do to give either ourselves permission to be okay with failure, or to give our kids that permission, or to teach them how to give themselves permission? Or do they need that piece? Is it really just all about us? You know, some kids with ADHD, quote unquote, fail and they just bounce back. It's that resilience and grit piece that lots of people talk about. And it is important, right, for our kids to learn to be resilient, particularly because of all the different challenges they're going to face on a daily basis. You know, it can be crushing, the weight of all the various ways in which we can fail or make mistakes, all the negativity that can surround them. But there's lots of kids who do just naturally bounce back. But then there's other kids who internalize it and turn it into shame. And then it becomes that, you know, internal monologue. I can't do anything right. See, I failed at that again. You know, I probably failed at that one too, so why should I even try? And that's what we want to be really careful about, because when you get in that headspace, and many of us know from our childhoods how powerful those internal monologues can be. And so that's where there's lots of different pieces to this that are very important, but particularly for our girls with ADHD, this piece I think is critical, because girls are much more likely to turn it into shame and to make it all about them and their failure, not just in that specific area, but as a human being. So that's something to be aware of. So what do you guys think? What can we do differently, either to give ourselves permission to fail or to be okay with failure? Nothing?
Jeremy, I was going to say that I like that you talk about it every day, or we're talking about it every day with your kids. That kind of normalizes it. Well, it just normalizes it, and it takes it, makes it less scary and intimidating. The idea that everybody's going to fail, that everybody at the table is going to share something that they made a mistake on or failed on that day. So that makes it less scary and horrible and disastrous. It just makes it like a part of life.
Yeah. Kind of like when we have these calls, you know, one of the things that I think is most powerful about these calls is that, you know, the same thing happens in a lot of our houses, and it's nice to know that that's normal, or our normal, not necessarily a failure, just that, you know, what's happening here is probably happening or has happened in your house too. And you know, you're not alone. And so if everyone has a collective experience of failure or success or violence or yelling or whatever it is, rebound, you know, there's some piece about knowing that it's our normal. Not everyone else is normal, but, you know, for those of us who have and everyone on this call does, complex kids, you know, we're not alone. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
But even with sharing it every day and normalizing it, it still might bug you. Go ahead. Was that Pat?
This was Tammy. I actually work in a job where I'm a crisis counselor. We go to a lot of forensic interviews and for kids with who've been either physically or sexually abused, and you know we have pre-staffings and they meet with the kids and they have their interviews and they come back and oh my God, sometimes I am just mortified because I think to myself, you know, with my, you know, sometimes losing my temper probably more frequently than, you know, anyone ever should. And some of the, you know, parenting failures I've had, I mean, I almost on a daily basis have to look at myself and think, my God, if my child came in here and, you know, was making a statement, I'd probably look like the worst parent on the planet, you know, but not everybody understands, you know, what's obviously going on in our home. So failure is something I worry about every single day.
Yeah. But my guess is that, you know, in your work, you hear a lot worse than what probably goes on in your home.
Well, absolutely. Obviously, I do. But it's just kind of a self-reflection. I feel like I'm self-reflecting all the time because I'm kind of forced to obviously hear, you know, terrible, horrible things that are happening to other kids. And I, you know, while I'm not sexually abusing or physically abusing my kids, I feel like, you know, sometimes with the yelling and such that, you know, maybe that is emotional abuse. I don't know. I don't think it is not purposeful, but it's something that I think about being a social worker professionally. I think my standards are pretty high. And so I guess I need to be more accepting of, you know, this family is different. My family is different. And doing my best, and I'm constantly, you know, as a parent, apologizing and trying to talk to my kids about how we, you know, get a start over and today's a new day, or we can start making better choices even after we've made a bad choice. And I mean, there's a lot of growing in this, and I am learning a ton, but it is a painful growth sometimes.
Yeah, it is. But so, and you're surrounded by pain on a daily basis, not your own necessarily, or not yet your family's own. But I mean, I can't imagine day in and out, you know, the things that you hear and have to process, and that's got to take a toll too. And so I'm sure you've got a great plan in place to, you know, support yourself and to kind of clear all that before you get home. But you know, we're all human, and I'm not going to take a poll or anything, but I would guess that every single one of us on this call has said or done things in our roles as parents that we really, really wish hadn't happened. I know I've lost my temper and yelled, you know, been very glad that there wasn't a camera in my house. And I was horrified by it, you know, and I, you know, certainly, you know, shocked even myself. But, you know, you keep going. We make the mistakes. And that's how you guys should, if you don't know or don't recognize this already, and I say this on every call because I think it's important to hear this, you guys are the good parents. You're the parents that know that what you've been doing isn't working. And that's why you signed up for this program. That's why you call in. That's why you share what you share, because you are good parents. You're great parents, because what you're doing is so much harder than what the neurotypical parent has to do every day. You know, most of the people who are in situations like this don't stay married. They end up abusing drugs and alcohol. So the fact that we're all here and we're all working together means that you've already won. You've already succeeded on some level. But forgive yourself. You know, what do you need to do to forgive yourself for the mistakes that have already happened? And what, you know, what do you need to do to move forward? Is there something in there that you need to address or forgive yourself for? Or do you feel like you've already put that to bed and that you're kind of living a daily apology?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I can see the bigger picture, and I think, yeah, I adopted my kids, so there's they've had obviously trauma, and I think, well, you know, I'm somebody who's kind of a trained professional, so to speak, but I never dreamt in my entire life that this, you know, it would be so hard. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think, what if somebody else was parenting this child? As hard as it is for me, and I think that I've got a lot of common sense, you know, where would he, you know, where would he be if he wasn't with me? So, I mean, I know that there's a, I know it's positive.
Yeah.
You know, when things aren't going right, and I feel like now's not really a great time, that I, you know, I'm looking for answers. We probably all are looking for answers. I know that's why we're on this call, but, you know, so failing, that resonates with me a lot, and just knowing that it's okay and to keep going forward and that it's the norm, you know, it's normal.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you were talking, I was thinking that, you know, how perfect and how, what a blessing, or whatever word, I don't necessarily want to go faith-filled, but that's what came to mind. For your kids, that they're in a place where their mom has a unique set of information and experience that she can use to help them, because you're already like 10 steps ahead because of what you do for a living and what you've seen and how you've grown from that and seen other people survive and thrive and be resilient. And so how perfect is it that the universe put them with you? I think that's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. What else, guys? What's coming up?
Powerful. Hi, this is Suzanne. And
hey.
I think I was just, when we're talking about the failures and stuff, I worry a little bit about my daughter because she doesn't seem to, like, we've never put a ton of emphasis on her grades. She's, you know, I think she's capable of doing better, I think, but she doesn't seem to, you know, she gets a C, she's like, oh, I got a C, oh, I got a D. Like, it doesn't seem to faze her. Like, she doesn't know the feeling of what it's like to get, you know, really good grades or, you know, to win a basketball game or any of those feelings. Like, she just isn't fazed by wins or losses or, you know, anything. And I don't know, like, I don't know how to change that. I don't know if I need to find, you know, I kind of worry that we need to set a little bit of a bar for her because she's not striving for, you know, for a whole lot. She just isn't fazed by a lot. And I don't know, you know, she's getting older and, you know, I definitely, when you talk about girls, it is really crucial for their self-esteem. And I don't know, I guess I just need to maybe focus on finding what she's really good at and pushing her in that direction rather than maybe what all her friends are doing. I don't know. Like, I struggle with that a little bit. And I watch, you know, as I watch her, it kind of concerns me, especially next year. She'll be in seventh grade, so we're starting to get to those critical years.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen her have a sense of accomplishment or pride or joy over anything?
Yeah, I mean, there's some a few things, and I guess maybe that's how sometimes I have to remove myself. You know, again, being an adoptive parent, there's nothing genetically connecting us. So, like, I was really into athletics, and stuff did come easy for me. So it's really hard to put myself in her shoes where, you know, she's not athletic, really. Or so, yeah, I don't know. I think she definitely has some things she's good at, and I need to probably focus on that some more and try to pull that out of her.
But you've seen that she's capable of experiencing, I mean, pride in herself. I mean, there's some people who don't experience certain emotions for whatever reason. They just don't take input in that way. And so I guess that was more my question was, is it in her range? Is it in her spectrum?
I mean, I think so, because I have seen it before, with certain things.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. I think, actually, I mean, just my own two cents, not that you need it, but I think that's a blessing in some ways to not be faced by things that sometimes, you know, drag the rest of us down. I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, because she doesn't, like, oh, big deal, we just lost the game. Like, I'm not going to dwell on it, you know. She just moves on. So I guess that, yeah.
We're yeah.
Crushed. Yeah, I guess.
But I get what you're saying, too, yeah. Right. You wanted to feel invested. Yeah, I always feel bad saying this. You know, my son with autism, he thinks everyone's his friend. You know, and when you ask him, you know, how he's doing socially, he's like, fine, great. You know, and he doesn't realize. You know, and on the one hand, it breaks your heart, but on the flip side, it's how great that he doesn't realize. You know, but you know, you go back and forth because yeah, sometimes it's a blessing, sometimes it's a protective thing, and you also want for the next level for everyone. So I see where you're going. What else? Someone else is going to chime in. Giving ourselves permission to be okay with failure. Is it possible? Sometimes it's a change in framework or a change in perception or expectation. And if that doesn't work, it's always okay to go back to the 3 to 5 year developmental delay. You know, it may be outside their range of abilities right now, whatever it is. But in 5 years, it may not be. Since we have so many people, what I'd like to do is go ahead and kind of start moving through the checkout process. And as you're thinking about kind of what your next steps are and what you took aim on or whatever came up for you as we're having this conversation, you know, what do you want to do differently in the next couple of weeks? Or what's something that you can do realistically that's different for whatever you're taking aim on or for whatever you want to do with respect to failing forward? And if you want to share that with the group, that would be awesome. The 4 questions, again, that we ask at the end of every call are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity, my aha, my takeaway from today? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? And so if you want to answer all the questions you can and share with us, if you want to just pick 1 or 2 and share those with us, that would be great. But yeah, take a few seconds and think about it. I'll read them again. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? And what's my clarity or my aha or takeaway from today? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? And if you're ready, just jump on in. Nobody?
This is Leslie. I think the one thing that I think I need to focus on is controlling initial reactions. You know, I think we're, you know, even though we might be saying something or we know that we should be saying something and being a supportive environment and a safe environment in order to facilitate this failing forward, mm-hmm. I think for me personally, I'm going to need to, my initial reaction is going to be to pounce on something. I think I'm much more receptive to having issues and perhaps failing in school, but it's the little things, the everyday things, when maybe you've said it 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. And, you know, that I think that's where, personally, I need to be more, I think, less reactive in and accepting. It's that initial reaction, I think, that says a lot to our kids and something that I need to work on in terms of controlling.
So how do you want to go about doing that?
I think it goes back to taking that breath, sip of water, before reacting. It's something I've been trying to work on in a lot of different aspects, and it's that pause. I need to keep working on the pause.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome. Is it pretty easy to remember when you feel yourself getting triggered?
It's getting easier. I'm not always consistent. It's a work in progress. As is
everything
else. Absolutely.
That's all we can do. Indeed.
Awesome. Sorry, my dog just barked. Cool.
No, you're fine. No, perfect. Thank you. Who's next?
This is Julie, and
go for it.
I will. Oh, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, you said go for it. Okay, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I will try the hoverboard tonight, and
awesome.
I will fall. I'm sure. And I will. My goal is to laugh at myself and for it to be okay. And but to show my kids that I can try it and I can make a mistake and I can get up and try it again. And also I really like the idea of talking about it, just talking about what mistakes did you make today, you know, and how would you handle it next time and things like that. Because I have a fear of failure. I probably most of us do. And, and my husband doesn't seem to have that same fear, and in some ways I admire him for that. You know, he's willing to start his own business where that terrifies me, and just things like that, that he's more willing to take a risk. Mm-hmm. And and there's something I appreciate and admire about that.
Yeah. There's a difference between risk and responsibility, right? So sometimes being responsible, making a responsible choice does not mean that you are not able to take a risk.
Yeah.
And so just when you're thinking about it, just want you to add that piece into your language or your thought process if you can.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you. Who else wants to check out real quick? We got 5 minutes left. You can probably hear from at least one, maybe two more people.
This is Pat. So I think for me for the whole failure thing is to just remember it's not as bad as it seems. I mean, to like put it in perspective. And you know, it's one thing, you know, fifth grade is not college, and we forget that. And I will say, like the other lady said, our husbands, I don't know, men just take more and don't make it quite as big a deal. And I think that's a good thing. And I just need to remember that, that to not get too upset and, and also keep, you know, praising my son on the positives that are going well.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you. One more. Who wants to go? All right, guys. Well, thanks for being here today. Elaine will be back with you in a couple weeks. And I appreciate everyone's hard work today. And thank you for being so interactive. Makes it much more fun. Well, take care. And please post in the Facebook group if you need anything, or shoot us a text, or just reach out via email if you have any questions or you need some specific support. We're always here for you. Have a wonderful rest of your week.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
The moderator has left the conference.